This evening, we want to talk a little about the problem of universal law.
Universal law! We reap from what we sow.
The force that governs it all. Natural law.
We're in the infinite will. The entire purpose of life is sustained by this law. This law is the instrument of that will. The law itself being the immediate vehicle of the divine purpose.
This is what those of us know the difference to and are taking it back to cosmic law.
We seek wisdom instead of gold when it comes to gaining wealth and knows if he wants the world to change, he must first change himself.
I don't understand, this is universal law. Whatever we give out comes back to where we are. We reap what we sow, what we get is what we give. The outcome of us is based on how we live.
Don't you understand, man, universal law, universal law. Don't you understand, you can't slip talk on the day of judgment.
Greetings once again, our friends. You know, for quite some time now, you know, Brandon Spencer and the boys, you know, we've been asking around, you know, do you got that natural law? And we haven't had some of the most encouraging responses sometimes, but yeah, there's a lot of convoluted ideas of what people think are the universal laws of nature and all these things, and people want to equate it to Darwinism, common law, and yada yada. But, you know, with the One Great Work Warriors, as we've been saying, you know, video in, video out, that, you know, natural law is what it's all about. This is the science of life. And we're going to delve into this as deep as we can within the limited time span. So I'm going to pass it off to my man, Chris Jansen. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Derek, for the introduction there. Much appreciated. Yeah, it's exciting to get into the deepest and most important topic of them all in a way, which is kind of the overreaching, overarching natural law. And I think every one of us has been asked at some point by someone, hey, what is natural law? And so this episode is all about our answering that question and delving into how to answer that question, you know, for ourselves and for people that ask us. And it was a great exercise for me to rethink it again. I always like kind of like going back to, how would I explain this same concept in other words than the ones we've typically explained it in? One of the simple phrases I came up with is we're talking about a spirituality that's not a dogmatic religion, especially not an external religion. You know, I think we can have internal religion that's like discipline, basically. But, you know, what I'm talking about, external religion is any dogmatic set of rules based on man's interpretation, which becomes man's laws, where natural law is not determined by what we think, but the spirituality of discovering reality itself has principles embedded in the very nature of the way things are. And there is a nature to the way things are that we can observe, and we can corroborate this nature. And it's actually one thing that I found very interesting is thinking about the word nature is it kind of sounds like the word mature, right? And I've thought about humanity. Humanity needs to mature. Humanity is still acting in a very childish manner. As a whole, when you look at the activities of humanity, there's still a lot of ridiculous and unnecessary cycle of suffering and violence. And humanity as a whole, it has to mature, has to work on maturing. And natural law, I think one of the confusions that people have that I'd like to clear up right now is that it's not that it doesn't apply to us individually, because natural law is all-encompassing. It's talking about all of reality, the very principles of the reality that we live in. But for the most part, when we're talking about natural law, we're talking about a pretty general, grandiose type perspective. And there's a tendency in each of us to say, well, how does it affect me? You know, or what do I get out of it? Right. And this is difficult because we live in a society that is very indoctrinated into the satanic mindset of always looking at things from these warped, worldviews that are like solipsistic worldviews or this sort of puppet reality where, you know, we're sort of separate from reality itself. Right. And so natural law, we're talking about the fact that what humans do in the collective on the whole over time affects the outcome of what humans experience together as a whole. We've all, it's like all this information and energy that's gone out in the world kind of gets collated in the universal fabric of reality. And there is an outcome and there's certain predictable aspects of that outcome. And those are what we understand to be morality. Our interpretation of what we see as objective morality is our ability to get attuned or closer or further away from what's going to work out well for us as a whole. And sometimes that's hard to see from the individual point of view because we're so fractionalized and fragmented in our own little specific lives. So, I'm going to pass it on and I'll go a little deeper next time the mic comes around, but I'm going to pass it on to my man, Jerry. Tell us about natural law, please. What is it?
Interesting. Natural law is universal, non-man-made, binding and immutable conditions that govern the consequences of behavior. It is a body of spiritual universal laws that govern the dynamics of consciousness. And I know that Brandon will touch on this, but that's the definition. As far as the etymology goes, that should be defined, but I did not make note of that. I'm just going to pass on that. But I wanted to talk about the five W's, the what is natural law, which I just covered, the when is it, when does it occur, why is it occurring, where, and how does it occur. So it occurs in the universe. It's always going on. At all times, all places, it's happening right now. It will always be in place. It's always been in place. And why is it occurring? For us to grow. This is an experience for us to grow in consciousness. And how does it work? Well, it's a cause and effect. So for every cause or behavior, there's an effect. There's a manifestation in the physical world. So that's why this is so important to understand, because our behaviors do have consequences. And if we're just living without objective morality, we can never live in peace. So that's just a quick breakdown, and I'll pass it to Jim.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, guys. Yeah, so what is natural law is a big question. And I really would like, you know, for anyone who's watching this, if they see that as the title, they'll be able to like leave here knowing, at least get a grasp of what it is, because it's not something that you can just like get like fully and deeply at once. So, you know, it takes a long time to process. And like, I'm 49 years old, and it wasn't until about 3 years ago I started to learn about natural law. Like, if someone asked me what natural law is, I don't know what I would have told them. So, like, it wasn't taught to us in schools. I never remember anyone talking about it, you know, any time in my life until, you know, maybe I started getting going on this journey. And but not until, like, 3 years ago, I started to hear a little bit. And then it was like, all right, I want to know what it is. So I started to, you know, look into it, and it took time to process. And it's like one of the biggest moments for me, because I was like, I still don't get it. You know, like, what does it have to do with anything? You know, one of the moments that I got dawned on me was when I got it that natural law is not man's law. Like when you compare it to government and how humans have all, like we've all been indoctrinated and programmed to believe in man's law. Like that's something I was taught about in school. You know, we were all taught about government and how like America is the greatest place and the greatest government in the world. And you learn to pledge allegiance and belief in authority and all that stuff. And so that's program indoctrination of man's law. But then, you know, then, so that's what I always knew. But then when you start to learn about natural law, it's like, wait a minute. You start to understand like, okay, well, man's law is not moral. It's immoral. And natural law is about morality. It has to do with, the fact that we are all connected. Like, one of the easiest ways to explain natural law, it's a couple of them, but you could say, everyone's heard this one, like, you reap what you sow, we reap what we sow, we're all connected. I think people have lived, if you live long enough, you know that's true. You just know it, like, there's consequences for your actions. But, like, just intuitively, you know, like, we reap what we sow, and we're all connected. So, when it comes to man's law, we've learned that there are people who we even like vote for or give this kind of put on pedestals and give them this respect that they can have authority over us. But when it comes to natural law is like also known as universal law. Doesn't know the difference, but we're all human beings. We're all equal. And so like the natural law sees me just the same as they see like a guy like Donald Trump or Joe Biden, like, or they're just the same as like the universe sees an Aborigine in the outback or a tribe in the rainforest is the same. There's no difference between those people and people who are living in a penthouse in Manhattan, like who work on Wall Street and or people who work in ties who like, we give this authority, they give them the opportunity to perform wrong actions towards us. Like if they're going to steal from us, like in say in terms of taxes, when you don't want to give it to them, but they're stealing. The universe doesn't see the difference between them stealing just because of who they are. And then also if we're voting for them, we are contributing to that stealing by, you know, supporting them in those actions. And so that's like natural law sees that. That's karma. That's like the consequences of that don't go unnoticed. So, I mean, we are stuck in this belief system of man's law. And what we really want people to know about what natural law is that we would be much better as a human race to make this shift towards man's law. To make the shift more towards natural law, because the more we do that, the more free we will be. The more moral we are in acting in natural law, that's where freedom, true freedom, begins to increase. And the more and more we just believe in this man's law and these things that they make up and they steal from us, the universe sees that as stealing no matter what. And that literally is slavery. So I will pass it to Brandon, and thanks for letting me share.
What is natural law? I'm going to use an analogy first to describe it, you know, because we've heard this saying before, you know, the game of life. Well, if you are in a game, wouldn't you want to understand the rules of the game? And this was something that I talked about yesterday on the watch party of Lex Naturalis with Derek. And I brought up how in sports, you know, if you were playing in a framework of sports, and if you are coaching, wouldn't you want to understand the governing body of how that sports operates? Wouldn't you want to, you know, like understand the dynamics of what makes up that sport, the rules, you know, the mechanics and how it's governed and how it functions? That way, if you have that knowledge, you can use it to your advantage. So when we ask this question, what is natural law? It is the governing dynamics that are going to determine if humanity is free or enslaved. So you can turn the show off because, you know, I've summed it up in a brief factual statement. But in actuality, it is a tool of discovery. It is a tool for the individual to discover, you know, their own inner vision of thinking. It is a key to unlock your mind. It is a way to de-occult this inner understanding. That's not the definition of it, but I'm just describing what it is. So the definition of it is important because when you define something, you are actually separating it from other things in reality. So when we define a word, we are saying this word means this one thing. It doesn't mean something else. You know, so when you are defining something, you are actually putting boundaries on it. That way you can communicate those boundaries, what that word is, to other people. So the definition of a natural law would be, you know, as Jerry said, immutable, objective, universal, non-man-made binding conditions that govern the consequences of behavior for intelligent, sentient beings. And you can also, you know, just use the definition, the immutable, universal, non-man-made, objective governing dynamics that are going to give us the same output that we put into reality. So when we look at the word governing, you know, what does it means to govern something? It means to control. It means to pilot. It means to steer. Okay, well, let's look at what the word dynamics mean. The word dynamics comes from the Greek word dynamikos. It means power, you know. Keyword, hands. So when you usually look up the word dynamics, it's associated with systems. It's associated with, you know, like, motion and force. So if we look at humanity, our first, let's look at what is a system. A system is, you can call it a integrated of parts. So you have a bunch of individual parts that are working in some form of cohesiveness, in some form of harmony, in some form of cooperation. So you can view humanity as a system because it is made up of the micro. It is made up of individuals. You have the macro being humanity and you have the micro being the individual. So we should, you know, so we're all working together in this co-creative reality. So what would be the force? What would be the force? The force would be how we think, you know, because how we think is going to it's going to lead toward motion, and motion is energy within us, emotions, you know, so that energy in motion, emotion is going to lead toward behavior. That's going to be the output manifestation within this system. And that output manifestation is going to be force because that's what our behaviors are. It's forms of force. That force can be based in love or it can be based in fear. And we are going to reap the consequences based off whatever force we put back out into reality, not just from an individual level, but also from a macrocosmic level, because that's how systems operate. If you take any system and if certain individual parts start to not operate correctly, you know, start to defunction, it's going to have an effect on the whole system. So when we are looking at the governing dynamics of behaviors, it works that same way. It's just with there being more individual parts within the system, it takes a lot more time in order for us to experience these detrimental flaws, or, you know, these detrimental degradations in humanity, aka the macro, aka the system. So with any system, there is a feedback loop, you know. So with the macro and the micro, there is this feedback loop, you know, because that's what systems, you know, have. So if we are putting out this force, this energy in the form of fear, in the form of violence, in the form of coercion, we are all going to reap those consequences in the aggregate if majority of the people are using that same force. So the governing dynamics of behavioral consequences are there to teach us, to guide us, to help steer us in the correct direction. That's why I say it is a tool used for discovery, because it is used as a means to analyze your own thought forms, your own belief structures, how you think, and the axioms that you hold dear to your heart. And in that way, you can analyze and hold it to a standard and say, hey, am I believing in things that are going to get me to what I say I want? Am I engaged in immoral behaviors? Am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? You see, it's a tool of discovery. It's a tool for you to analyze your own self. Then once you start inwardly, then you can start to branch that, you can start to branch outwardly. So the governing dynamics, because, everything in reality operates on law. Nothing exists without law. Nothing exists without law. You know, so these are the governing dynamics to help us co-create and manifest reality. So I'm going to pass it on to Derek.
Cheers, Brandon. Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, that was a really cool watch party. Definitely learned a lot, and hopefully folks learned some things as well. And definitely love the fact, and was going to bring up as far as, you know, the governing dynamics. You know, you brought up behavior and all that stuff, and you have, you know, numerous presentations that goes over that, including one titled Behaviorism, which is great. Y'all can check out Brandon's work. But I'll talk more kind of like about the governing dynamics of just like creation in and of itself, because, you know, the hermetic principles, you know, mentalism, law correspondence, vibration, rhythm, polarity, you know, everything has poles, you know, everything has like a dual opposite within it in a sense. Same with, you know, the law of gender. And obviously cause and effect is one of the biggest ones in. Yeah, so break it down for, in a sense of how these things, you know, yeah, like we can see this, you know, beyond the hermetica of just like the seven principles of how creation is structured, right? And there is a lot of structure in all these things that encompass, you know, every single cell and atom, and that and fractals out in from. All that permeates all dimensions, right? So as far as bringing it, you know, grounded into 3D, I'm going to share a hermetically sealed love story, if you will, and how, you know, so people want to, well, what's the point of learning natural law? This is your life. You know, you are not exempt from these laws of nature that existed, you know, before humans were ever conceived. So, yeah, back when I was living in Paris, I was married and I had a beautiful heart chakra awakening, if you will. And, Yeah, that really ignited that generative principle of care that went beyond just my little individual egoic stuff and yada yada. And then it really gave me some time, or it, you know, prompted me to give myself some proper time to like do a self-examination. I wanted to be the best man for the woman I loved and yada yada. So, you know, I can reflect on that today, knowing what I know now and seeing like, okay, yeah, going over the Hermetica again, the first cause and law principle, I realized that I needed to change my mindset. You know, I wasn't thinking properly or, you know, the best I could have. And I noticed that, you know, I had a lot of internal conflicts and a lot of itches that I wanted to scratch because I felt really confused, ignorant to the world in a good degree. I wanted to be a father, and I was like, what the hell am I going to teach my kid? And that kind of stuff, right? And I was really interested with, you know, where human origins and ancient aliens and yada yada. And so the law of correspondence, like, who are we exactly as humans, like, in relation to the whole cosmos and this and that, you know, like, forget aliens. Like, we need to figure out who the fuck we are first and fucking foremost, you know? And, yeah, I noticed that just I didn't have the best health at the same time. That also prompted me to, you know, make some changes. So, yeah, I had, like, you know, my vibe was disrupted, you know, my hormones and all that stuff. I had eczema, health problems. I was out of rhythm with myself, if you will, as well. And yeah, I still had inner conflicts of what I thought was true and all that stuff, and needed to confirm a lot of stuff and relearn and unlearn a lot of stuff because I was polarized by certain things, right? Law of polarity. And I noticed that I was kind of spinning on the wheel of life, not really having proper direction or control of it. So I was not on the plane of causes to the effects in my life, going back to cause and effect. And I did also notice that, yeah, being in a relationship, I wasn't, you know, in my full masculinity all the time as well. And as far as, you know, breaking it down, masculine, feminine, both aspects, archetypes of energy, whatever, of consciousness that resides, in, you know, in our minds as well, the right and the left side, you know. Yeah, I had imbalances as well. So yeah, there was so much that I was able to work with myself, not even like knowing of these things and like going through alchemical processes that corresponds with natural law as well. So, yeah, damn it. I told the story and I wanted to correspond all these tarot cards, but, maybe next round. Yeah, I hope that made sense and folks could follow with that, you know, something that applies to anyone's life. You know, this is the science of life, you know, you just got to dissect it and see it for what it is. And then we're able to, better ourselves for the future. Maybe repent for the mistakes so we can, you know, have that cosmic apology that really opens the floodgates up for that generative principle of care, that lost principle. Right. So, yeah. Chris, I guess we'll keep the cycle or whatever. And yeah, law of cycles, you know, think about that too.
Yeah, thanks, Derek, for, you know, sharing some personal aspects of your experience too, finding that balance, right? The fact that we all have a balance to find is an indicator that there's something to be studied out here. You know, I'm thinking about like one of these nature documentaries, and they're like, look at this orange fish and its weird hooked fin. As we studied this fish, we realized it had a hooked fin so it could hang onto rocks and feed on things in the rocks. Like, why do we even have this ability? Like, the fish has the hooked fin to question things and wonder about why we're here and make conscious decisions. You know, that's not for nothing. If you could step outside of our being as humans and imagine being a higher being looking at us, you would say, oh, look, they have the ability to determine consciousness. They have the ability to discern between right and wrong. Why don't they do it? You know, because we're looking at a lot of humanity making choices that aren't really thinking about how it's going to affect the nature of the next people showing up on this earth, having to deal with sort of this karmic result of what the people before them did or didn't do. Another way I thought to describe this, natural law is similar to cosmic or karmic justice, that we're experiencing the results, like we brought up the law of cause and effect, right? This is like we can do like an allegory, an example or metaphor would be, imagine if you're standing at the top of a hill. And I just was the other day on a walk, and there's a tire laying at the top of a hill. As I walk to the top of the hill, I see the tire there. And I'm tempted to just stand the tire up on its end and just roll it to see how far it'll go, right? And in my mind, I'm thinking about, like, kinetic energy and potential energy, right? The tire, because of the fact it's at the top of the hill, it already has potential energy. And if I turn it on its side and kick it, now it has kinetic energy and it's moving. And so that's kind of like natural law. It's these like kinetic and potential energy. These energies always exist. It's just a question of how we use them or how we apply them, right? So if I were to do that in a non-conscious manner and send a big giant tire rolling down a hill when I knew there was a bunch of kids playing down below, you know, I set this in motion. Once that tire starts rolling, that's like the effects, right? The cause was me kicking it and standing in its on its end. So everything we do in life is like this decision with this tire. Should I do something or should I not do something? And then we have to consider that once we do something, like the tire rolling down the hill, now it's in motion. Now something's going to happen. And so often when we describe to people, like, we want to work towards a world where we're not stealing from one another and causing harm so that the next people have to deal with that problem that we started by stealing from one another, such as rape, such as murder. You know, I think Mark Passio did a really good job describing seven specific types of things: murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, deception. You know, these are good examples of ways that humans go about setting this tire in motion down the hill rolling. And then people are like, well, we don't have any choice but to experience the results of what's already set in motion. Yeah, of course. The whole goal of this natural law thing is to start understanding that we have to start at the cause point, that point where we don't just roll down the hill willy-nilly without thinking about the consequences on other people. And part of that is just the recognition that this is the reality that we're living in. We got to stop denying that there's a cause and effect situation here, right? And so once we recognize that, then we can start making choices that don't affect people in a negative way. And that, you know, whatever tires we do roll down the hill are constructive. They're things we thought about first, you know? They're things we worked together on. We corroborated and came up with a plan that made sense. Where currently, what we're doing is accepting the plan of other people, and they're not caring about which way the tire rolls, right? Because they're not considering how it's going to affect others. And there, many of us are not really considering that we even live in a world where this consequence thing is the case. And that's what we're trying to talk about by educating people about natural law, is to just help. Everybody has to understand this concept for us to be able to work within it, to be able to make changes because of it. If we don't accept this, the change can't happen, you know, we have to be able to imagine something before we can do that something. So I'd say a big aspect of natural law is just talking about it with other people, just redefining it ourselves, just learning to observe it, see it for what it is, test it in our mind, and recognize on a larger scale that this is the most important dynamic of reality. And until we get that, we're not going to see the type of changes we want to see in the world. But if we do want to see things change in a way where humans are not raping, murdering, assaulting, stealing, trespassing, and coercing one another, then we need to recognize that those things happen because of actions that we do, right? And so we can change those actions. We cannot do those actions. But in the meantime, we can't get out of the karmic debt of what's already been done. And that's kind of the frustration that people have when they're like, well, I want to work towards a world where I don't have to face the consequences. And it's like too late. You know, we're in the world of consequences. That's what natural law is. So there's no easy out of this situation when we've been doing a bunch of evil things to one another for a long time, you know? So I'll pass it on to Jerry. You're up next, my man.
Thank you. Brandon, did you want to say something?
I think we all want to say
something. Yeah, I mean, hell, I've got stuff to say, but I mean, hell, you can go ahead and talk.
Okay. Yeah, you brought some great points. And I pulled up the etymology for natural law, so I might as well just say that. So this is from edemonline.com. Natural, century 1300, naturel, of one's inborn character, hereditary, innate by birth, or as if by birth. And then law, the noun, Old English lagu, plural laga, combining form la. Ordinance, rule, prescribed by authority, which is nature. So you put that together, then you have that definition that I gave to you my last time up. And I just want to say Lex Rex is the law is king. So natural law is king. It, like I mentioned, it's always in effect and it's immutable and you can't change it. And we're bound by it. So you can't escape it unless you go to another universe. Let me know when you get there because we haven't done that yet. Like, I don't know anyone that has done that. And from what I've heard, like maybe going to the moon is bullshit. So like, you know, anyway, that's my point. So yeah, I mean the whole, the dark occult, they are ruling on Earth. We're in prison. So they know that they can't change the natural law, but they're going to, you know, pretty much use that knowledge against us so that they can rule here. And this is why it's important to understand natural law, because ignorance is based out of fear, and that leads to chaos, which is what we don't want. And people say that they care, but you know, talking is not acting. So that's why the trivium is so important. That's how we learn anything. It's you get the grammar, then you pretty much, you know, you get rid of the bad and then you act. So that's an essential component of natural law. And on the other hand, if, like Brandon said, you either choose love or fear, if our choices are based on love, that energy, we will get that knowledge of natural law. We'll make the sacrifices. Like, you know what? I'm not... true virtue is withstanding the highest bidder, right? So it's like, doesn't matter how much money you give me, I'm going to do what's right. And a right is an action that does not result in harm to other sentient beings. That's what everyone has to know on this earth. And the fact that people cannot say that is the reason why we can't protect our rights. Because people think man get to make up rights and create this false illusion of a law like Jim touched on, which is imaginary, right? Their authority is imaginary. There's no such thing here as authority but natural law. So understanding this is how we understand our sovereignty, and then our external, we manifest freedom. But like Brandon said, we have to focus on the micro. We have to focus on the individuals. So by teaching this, understanding it, that's how we create the change. So I'll pass it to you, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. So yeah, like you had mentioned, there is like this ruling class that they do even on the half, they have an understanding of natural law and how to, they're using it against us to keep us in this mindset, this false, this belief system, this foundation of wrong thought. Then they know that they can keep controlling us in that way. Until we start understanding, you know, that there is, that morality is objective, then they're going to keep getting away with this really screwed up world that we live in. So, kind of spacing out here, but another real simple way to think of natural law is the golden rule, right? And I think pretty much everyone's heard of that one too, and that goes across all religions. The golden rule is basically don't do anything to anyone that you don't want done to yourself, right? So, that Chris had mentioned before, you know, all those forms of theft that cause harm to others. And so, and those are all actions that are the ones in the ruling class get away with. And then we also support and contribute. So I'm repeating that. We are responsible for what we contribute to. It's like, it's not like you can just, Chris said this too, we're in denial of it. But oh man, I knew what I was going to say, but I'll pass it to Brandon. I lost my train of thought. Thank you.
We can't talk about natural law without bringing up the trivium and the means of truth discovery, you know, because that's what life is all about, truth and morality, and having the tools at our disposal. I mean, having the tools at our disposal so we can help align our perception to that which is the truth and objective reality. You know, so when we are talking about objective reality, how does, you know, like how does natural law manifest itself in the conditions? Well, we have the natural law expressions, and I talked about love and fear, you know, when I was talking about the governing dynamics, because those are the two polarities that just exist within the all, within the cosmos. You know, you can call it consciousness and unconsciousness. You can call it love and fear. You can call it force and violence. As long as you understand these two polarities, then that's the key, not the names that we associate with them. But within the natural law expressions, we can see the trivium. And, you know, once you take in love, or some people will even call it care, you know, once you take in true care, then that is the openness. You know, you are embracing something. So what are you starting to embrace? You are taking in knowledge. You are taking in truth. And that is the grammar stage, because without grammar, where would humanity be? Without language, how could we communicate, you know, anything, you know, outside of symbols? But it would be easier if we had, you know, more tools such as language, because language is, you know, nothing more than symbols, words, or just symbols. Just, it just makes it easier for us to understand and to decode and to communicate. So, you know, when we're talking about knowledge, when we're, you know, when we're talking about grammar, we're talking about, you know, how phonetics, you know, sounds that shape words, you know, being able to structure these phonetics to, you know, to make clear, you know, vibrant sounding words so the person who hears it can articulate those phonetics. Then we have spelling, you know, we are combining, you know, the letters in the written word, you know, the written form. you know, because you have the actual phonetics, which is the vibratory, you know, energy from the mouth, but then you also have the written form of language, which can be written down as another means to communicate anything in reality. And then you have the basic form of grammar, you know, words to shape sentences, and then you can take sentences to shape, you know, paragraphs, and then on and on and into infinitum, you know. But the, you know, the language is key, because the language is a function of consciousness. You know, there is a specific reason why we are the only beings that we know of that is capable of language, because it shows, again, the power, the dynamic that we as human beings have when it comes to being able to understand this objective world, you know, that we are all co-creating and manifesting, and that we all live and share with other life forms and with other beings. You know, so we take in this knowledge, or we can ignore it. If we choose to ignore it, then that leads to limited, you know, limited thinking or distorted thinking. Or what if your knowledge is inaccurate? What if your grammar is inaccurate? What if your words are inaccurate? What if your definitions are inaccurate and they're wrong and they're incorrect? distorted knowledge leads to distorted logic, which is the confusion. You know, that's the internal schism, because your logic is only going to be as good as the grammar that goes in. You're not going to get to good logic if you have bad grammar. So if you are taking in indoctrination, if you're taking in religious ideology, if you're taking in dogmatic thinking, these are all forms of distortions in our thought forms, incorrect axioms. And that's why we see so many people confused in this world. We see so many people who are confused, falling for the same stuff that, you know, that mankind has been falling for tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years. But yet, when you take in the correct grammar, when you take in the correct knowledge, then that will lead to that internal understanding, because you take this information in and it has to be processed. It has to be filtered. It has to be amalgamated and put together and filtered, because not all of it is going to correlate and, you know, go together. So you have to use some form of filtration. And it should lead you to the path of the understanding, the inner knowing, you know, your sovereignty. The words that we use to describe it aren't as important as the actual, you know, steps. Because, you know, Mark Passio has created his own natural law expressions. Chris Nelson has, and I've created, you know, my own set. So, but they all correlate, you know, with each other. So if we view humanity and we see the world, we can see that it is on the wrong path. It is on the path of fear. It is on the path of ignorance. It is on the path of confusion. So what is the outward manifestation? We are seeing the condition of slavery. This is the rhetoric. This is the output. Because when you have distorted, you know, when you have distorted thoughts, when you have distorted knowledge, that leads to distorted logic, then therefore it's going to lead toward distorted, in the distortion in the form of behavior. And distorted just means twisted. That's what it means. It just simply means twisted. But hell, again, if we had the correct knowledge, if we had the correct ways of thinking, and we've taken that thinking and we analyzed it, you know, we've corrected our own inner thought forms, we've corrected our own belief structures, we've corrected our own axioms that we've constructed our viewpoints, you know, off of. We understand the definitions of words and the importance of language. Then the outward manifestation inevitably will lead towards freedom, because you have the tools to discern between truth and falsehood. That is the importance of the trivium, is being able to understand how to navigate through reality. So on the individual level, yes, you may have that internal freedom, and you're trying to push the internal freedom outwardly by trying to educate people, like trying to get them to go through these same processes. But on the collective level, on the macro level, what is really going to be created if enough individuals go through this process in the aggregate is going to lead toward order. You have the macro and the micro. In the aggregate, if enough individuals decide to take in this knowledge, decide to understand what's right from wrong, decide to, finally have true care, that is the only steps towards freedom and order. But unfortunately, when we weigh the results, when we gather the data, when we look at and we, you can call it the scientific method or whatever, we are not in the condition of freedom. We do not have order. We have disorder. We have disharmony. We have slavery. So invariably, you can see, you can witness with your own, with the full totality of your being, that humanity is not interested in the truth. Humanity does not care. Because if you line up these natural law expressions, we are all on the right-handed path in the form of red, fear, ignorance, confusion, slavery, chaos. Because all across the world, we have what? We have chaos. But that external chaos is just a manifestation of what? The internal chaos. But why is there internal chaos? Because we have taken in what? Distorted information, distorted thoughts, incorrect definitions of words, false axioms, dogmatic ways of health thinking, religious viewpoints. And see, what the trivium is pretty much just like a wheel, because the output is going to create more input. The input is going to create, more of an internal process of logic. Then that logic is going to create more output. Then it just go on and on and on and on and on. It'll never cease to exist. Never. Input processing, output, it will never cease to exist. So this threefold process, you have the dynamic of how consciousness expresses itself through thoughts, emotion, and actions in tandem with the trivium, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Those, you can call it, those dual forms of the three to be in cohesiveness creates a wheel which continues to spin internally, gets pushed outwardly. And therefore, you can become the teacher to try to help educate others. This is why you have to, you have to have all three. You can't just have, your thoughts in line and your emotions in line, but you're not engaged in right action, because two out of the three is what? 666 repeating. You're still in base consciousness. You're not activated. You haven't really engaged in right action yet. You haven't completed the threefold process of the trivium. If you've taken in the knowledge, you understand it, but you're just sitting on it. You're not engaged in output. You're not engaged in incorrect rhetoric. You're not engaged in right action. So the trivium process can't be left at the door when we are talking about natural law. Because if we say that natural law is the most important thing that you can know, which it is, then what are the tools required in order for us to get there to understand it? And then also, once we understand it, what are the tools that are necessary to get other people to understand it? Because it's not just about you yourself, understanding this. Because what good is knowledge if you can't share it with others? You have to be willing to step into that realm of the teacher and educator. and provide a service for the truth so that others can at least walk that same path. And like Jim said, it does take time to learn all of this. You're not going to learn this by watching a few 1 minute clips and shorts. You're not going to learn this overnight. You have to be willing to invest in the time. You have to have the care. And then also too, you have to have the care and love to put it back out there for others. Derek, I think you're up.
Yeah, brother. And you talking smack about my shorts? No, just kidding. And yeah, like, I'm not trying to like appeal to the TikTokery. It's just to whet the appetite for like a lot of links that I provided. And, you know, with these shows and everything that we do on our individual works, we share a lot of other references of things that we've learned from and other people that are teaching it as good, lesser, or much better than us. You know, we're trying to stand on the shoulders of giants and honor their, you know, teachings and, you know, revealing and articulating this knowledge that is really easily, I don't know, accessible is the word, but, you know, like understandable at least. And, Chris Nelson has some of the best slides out there. And, that's exactly what I had in my mind. Some of his graphics when Brandon, you were talking about, you know, the triangle, the wheel, you know, he really illustrates that really well. So much respects to him at evolveconsciousness.org. And so I wanted to say one thing about the whole, yeah, the religious stuff, because yeah, there's some great things about religion, right? Yet, you know, there's a lot of things that are questionable, and you've seen the history of how many countless deaths because of it and conquered nations and civilizations, whatever. But yeah, to go down the line of what some of these religions across the world, you know, expressed as far as, you know, cause and effect and karma, if you will, you know, starting with Buddhism, they said, hurt not others with that which pains yourself. Christianity, the classic, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In Hinduism, they say, treat others as you would yourself be treated. Islam, they say, do unto all men as you would wish to have done unto you. Like, what about the women? And what, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, with the burqas and shit like that. Okay, whatever. Sorry. Judaism, what you yourself hates, due to no man. Okay. Native American, live in harmony, for we are all related. And they got, you know, they're really into animism and things. And from sacred earth, I don't know. Do as you will, as long as you harm no one. And that's legit, right? Doing, action, you know, that's a masculine energy. And the non-aggression principle, the non-violation principle is the feminine. So, yeah, take no shit, but do no harm. You know, we would all get along quite fucking fine, you know, and we would be able to resolve whatever conflicts that arise on, you know, daily interactions that are bound to fucking occur because we live in a collective consciousness tied in with, you know, the collective unconsciousness and all that jazz. So, it's going to take a long time for people to get really on the level of, you know, really embodying, let alone understanding, you know, these things to get to the inner standing, right? To, you know, have that proper hermetically sealed behavior, if you will. But love saying that. I wanted to bring up some other quotes, but yeah, just real quick, because no one mentioned it before. Where's my guys? Yeah, so natural law has also been known as universal law, spiritual law, because nature, neter, means spirit. When you take it to ancient Kemetian language, which, you know, unfortunately, I guess, Jerry, did they not mention that in the etymologically, I don't know what website that was, but yeah, that's really important to understand because it really gets people out of this mind state of natural law being something to have to do with motherfucking Darwin bullshit or the natural order or, you know, the natural way of things and, you know, human nature and that kind of stuff. When people have a misconception of that in and of itself tied in with all this other stuff. And so there's a clusterfuck of misunderstanding what the fuck natural law is. So, and people talk about universal law. They're still kind of distorting things through too much of the woo-woo new agey stuff, you know? So we can call it cosmic law also, karmic law, law of one, consequentialism, law of causality, and the law of attraction, which, you know, people probably heard from that book from decades ago, that watered down new age shit of, you know, yeah. You know that one, The Secret? But there are quite a good amount of quotes throughout the history of time, and there's been presenters like Brandon that have brought a shitload of them up, and I'm going to share a couple, and word up to Corey Anderlett, who's done a 10-hour presentation. He likes to call it naturosophy, you know, his rendition of natural law, which I find is pretty cool. Props to him. Roseanne Lindsay says freedom exists under natural law, as you know what we're talking about as far as, you know, objective morality aligning to that, which would, you know, really manifest that sovereignty that people are truly embodying from the inner sovereignty and, you know, rippling out into the reality field, right? As above, so below, as within, so without, as the universe, so the soul, don't you know? But William of Auxerre said, I don't know if he's French or some guy that moved to France, but the natural law is the origin and principle of all virtues and their acts. Therefore, we must first speak about natural law. First principles, which is, you know, and yeah, it all goes back to the first cosmic law principle of mentalism. So, yeah. As we think, so we speak. What we reap, what we sow, we reap. Rudolf Steiner, ooh, love this guy. He says, you can get an idea of human nature only when you can see the relationship of the individual human being to the whole cosmos. I didn't have the best cadence with that, sorry. But what he's, you know, referring to is, yeah, the... as above, so below, you know, what are we in relationship to the cosmos? You know, like it's the universe is within us as well. What do you think as within, so without means? Think about it on a multidimensional level. Ooh.
Yeah. Getting some perspective.
Yeah.
We done there, Derek?
Or you want to take it away, Chris?
You got another quote? Let's hear it.
Well, I got too many, but just one more. Good old Terrence McKenna. I believe in universal laws. You shouldn't kill people. You shouldn't lie to people. You shouldn't inject yourself between lovers. And you shouldn't get other toxic injections. But most cultures recognize a set of universal laws, but thou shalt not smoke marijuana. Surely the god of Mount Sinai has better things to do than worry about that sort of thing. But... that was more lighthearted. Damn it. We're going to come hard the next round, believe you me.
Yeah, I wanted to jump in here with just a quick note about the power of objectivity. It's difficult because we are subjective beings. We're living a subjective experience. A lot of our experience and our day-to-day life is what we use to define reality, right? But our access to objectivity is limited by our exposure and our experience with people around us. So a lot of people aren't exposed to ideas like natural law. I didn't really come upon this term until I was almost 30 years old or right in that range. So one thing we can offer right now to the future generations is to expose people to this idea and concept and give them a chance to go through this process, because there is a process of coming to the realization about natural law. And the reason that is because what Brandon talked a lot about is these distortions. And I'm going to call them ridiculous worldviews. Ridiculous worldviews are in place in everybody's minds in modern world. Like I mentioned, like there's like this puppet reality concept where people think there's nothing I can do. Yeah, they recognize that there's evil people in charge, but their conception of reality, their perspective on the situation is there's nothing I can do. That's the puppet reality. Then you got people over here in the fatalistic reality, like, oh, well, we've already lost, you know, or some book says this is what's going to happen. And so therefore, there's nothing we can do anyway, right? So there's these, you know, we're just puppets in this game. There's this, we're just another part of this story that's already written. And then the solipsistic view, like, oh, I'm the only one that exists. You're all fake. Didn't you know that? You guys are all fake. This is me having my dream and you all don't exist. You know, this type of thinking, like these are ridiculous worldviews that people are actually caught in. Everybody, you know, the majority of all people are caught at some level in ridiculous worldviews. So the process I'm describing that we all have to go through in realization is to recognize, number one, that these ridiculous worldviews are ridiculous. They're not reality. And the way we can do that is I like thinking of these four words that start with a C: communication, corroboration, community, and cooperation. We can realize these things internally. That needs to happen individually, right? But once we've done that self-work, what we call self-work, and that's a whole topic in and of itself, but once we've done that, then we can find other people who have done that work and corroborate with them. Do you recognize what I'm recognizing, that our world's all messed up? Yeah, me too. Do you recognize that I recognize that most people aren't seeing the perspective on this situation? They don't see the problem? Yeah, I can corroborate. That's also the case. Okay, what can we do about it now that we understand that and we've fully like digested that problem rather than just being frustrated with it? Now we start cooperating and we form a plan. To imagine any real change in the world, first we have to conceive of the bridge to where we're going. That bridge, that bridge I'm describing is an understanding of the problem. We can't start jumping to the solution until we understand the problem. The problem is the worldview. The problem is the perspective in people's minds that is across the board. It's in all people. We need to shed that snakeskin. And there's a, just like when someone dies, it's like stages of grief that we have to go through. There's the shock, you know, oh my gosh. The world's not what I thought it was. And then you got to go through denial where you're like, oh no, this is all real. This is just conspiracy stuff. And then you realize, fuck, no, it's not. This is real. I'm mad at these people, you know, anger, right? And then you go through like bargaining. Well, maybe we can work out some kind of deal with these fuckers, you know? You know, like it's just like these stages of grief, depression, right? Oh, you just start wanting to give up. It's overwhelming. Testing. What can I do to make it easier on myself, you know? And then the acceptance. Yeah, it's a fucked up situation, okay? This is what we got. What do we do about it, right? So, you know, there's these steps we have to go through of exposing people, exposing ourselves to the issue, questioning the issue, questioning what natural law means again and again, testing it with each other, corroborating that that's what we're both observing, right? And then we repeat, rinse and repeat. You know, it's like the cycle they describe of alchemy. It's also a process. Calcination, dissolution, separation, conjunction, fermentation, distillation, coagulation. It takes time, okay? So where we're at in that process right now is the realization and education part. And so that is where our focus needs to be, on ourselves, recognizing, do I really understand natural law? How I affect other people? Do I really understand morality and the consequences of my actions on other people? Do I fully understand that? Yes. If I do, if I can answer those questions, yes, then how can I corroborate with other people and start working towards doing something about the problem. But first we have to realize it. And right now that's where we're at with educating people and talking about these things publicly, online, writing books, putting out art, helping people understand, observe, and recognize that this is the situation. This is what needs to be realized. So I hope that brings some clarity to folks, as far as like, what do I do next? What do I do with all this information? I hope that gives you some direction. Jerry, any last words, and then pass it on?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Once again, I have to thank you for this mastermind group, because if it wasn't for this, I would, you know, not be at the stage where I'm at. I've just learned so much from you guys, so I recommend perhaps start a mastermind group with other people that say they understand natural law, and now they just need some accountability, because at the end of the day, that's what helps me, meeting with these guys, and like we talk about, hey, where are you at? Like, you know, are you putting out the work? Like, what are you doing? And it's just good to have that accountability. And, you know, I'm realizing how I'm at the stage where I understand this internally, and now I have to work on the output, which is a lot like where most of us get stuck. And I'm speaking for myself. I just have to kind of take the time to prepare, you know, gain the skills, understand technology so I can put this information out so it's more readily understandable, available. And another thing I wanted to say is there's a lot of information out there. So there's like, you know, bad information. And I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel because there is information. So by sharing this type of content, you can help people get to the good stuff, which is like people like Chris and Brandon. Like Brandon has that playlist of natural law. Like that's a great place to start, to understand natural law. And I mean, time is running out for sure. I mean, the dark occultists are trying to finish that pyramid of a complete darkness. And you know, the time is now, guys. So I just thank you once again.
Thanks, Jerry. I mean, I'm with you on that. Like I sometimes struggle to convey this information to others, but I've been processing it over the years, and I feel like I do have a really good understanding of it. And what's most important about that, like, was I came to the realization that I can't live in ignorance of it, because like even now, like, I understand the consequences of that. And I am someone who believes, like many, in reincarnation and that. And like what I do in this life matters. That's part of the reason why I'm here. Like, but also I understood that I had to say something about it, because not saying anything is just as bad as doing nothing. Right. So that's the same thing. But there are, so once you start to understand this stuff, like before I understood it, there's that word called nescience, where it's like you didn't know, you know, like, and just like a kid like doesn't understand something, like if you like get too close to the cliff, you're gonna fall. You can't blame them for not knowing. But once you do know, and then that's, you know, you got to say something. If you really, and you want to care for truth. And I do understand that. I really do, because I've been through this with a bunch of people just by asking them questions. And it even gets to be amusing in a way, but to see them in cognitive dissonance when you can show them that they're in contradiction with their own beliefs. And they really do, like, maybe at the end of the questions that I'm asking them, they will admit, they won't be in denial about the truth. But then that, like, scares the shit out of them. Yeah, I think Brandon said it before, like people can't stand the truth. And that's such a scary place for people to be, like when they realize like that they're, what they thought the world is, isn't what it is, you know? And it's like, just by asking a few questions, like that's scary. And then they want to live in, go back into ignorance, you know, or, cause, you know, a lot of people do know, like they're not even in ignorance. Most people are just even in ignorance. So, but, yeah, I mean, you guys said so much of what I was going to say as well, but just, appreciate the opportunity to, be a part of this. And thank you for all that you guys have done and keep on doing. And, yeah, just remember to keep speaking out. So pass it off to Brandon.
People will ask, what is the proof of natural law? You know, prove it to me, which I think is a very weak statement that an individual would say, because a strong individual would prove it to themselves. But the law of freedom, and that is as morality in the aggregate increases, freedom in the aggregate increases. And we're talking about, you know, for a species, of course. And then also too, as morality in the aggregate decreases, then slavery and tyranny in the aggregate is going to increase. So you can take what I just said and weigh, hell again, what does it mean to weigh something? You know, you have a unit of measurement, you know, so you take what I just said and then you take the effects in reality and you weigh them. You know, this is why you can view, you can engage, you can see, you can actually weigh what we are talking about, your own self. You can actually prove it to yourself that what we are saying is true. Because we see the effects in reality. We see the chaos. We see the violence. We see freedom declining. We see the restrictions on rights, on freedom, on thinking, on individuality. We see the restrictions on free will choice. There's so much restrictions now. It's getting beyond the point of no return. And we see government getting bigger and bigger. We see corporations getting bigger and bigger. You know, we see order followers, you know, still murdering people, you know, still beating people, you know, still pulling over people. And we see the mainstream media still putting off more propaganda than ever. You know, we still see people starving. We still see, you know, genocide, you know, taking place in certain areas. We still see a lot of, you know, homelessness. So we see the lack of care. So be honest with yourself. Stop lying to yourself. Stop trying to approach this from a religious ideology. Pull back your perspective, pull back your lens, shift your worldview, and see the objective reality, not for what you want it to be, but for what it actually is in reality. The problem is majority of the individuals on this planet have disconnected themselves from the macrocosm, have disconnected themselves from humanity, have disconnected themselves from objective reality. And that's the satanic mindset, thinking, hey, I can just go around. There's no such thing as cause and effect. There's no such thing as consequence. I can do whatever I want because you have a disconnect with reality. So what you're saying is I get to dominate reality. I am God. And yet reality, natural law, is going to always show you that you are not God and you are nothing. You are absolutely fucking nothing in the eyes of the cosmos. And I'm done.
So, people want proof, huh? They don't realize that they're a living embodiment, just like every omnipresent thing around us. You know, we can apply the Hermetica to everything, you know, and people just still haven't gotten out of the first fucking gate of all is mind. It's all about your state of mind. And yeah, it takes some real eyes to really realize these things. And word up to realization, Chris, you know that guy out in Holland. I forget his real name, but
Alexander, Real Eyes Station.
Yeah. Oh, Alexander, yeah.
Raskovic.
Word. So people are still, and it's funny because to see the things around them, not take the time to step back and understand the cause of them. You know, that's just a law of nature, cause and effect. And so there's all these other governing dynamics, like, you know, Brandon and I touched on before, that we all need to take into account. And yes, natural law is the study of the occult, the hidden, you know, what we can't visibly see. You know, like, can we see our thoughts, you know? Yeah, we can write them down and then look at it. But, you know, where does it originate from? So all these things need to be considered. And for me, when I consider it all, it's just, it just opens up so much of just curiosity, motivation, inspiration, aspiration to be more aligned to the divine and take the proper time and all that jazz. And speaking of jazz, what y'all know about those jazzy hip hop soul vibes? Because I've been mixing music in regards to, you know, things along, you know, spirituality and stuff, and like learning more and more and more about natural law and refining that and embodying it more and more, because it's a process, just like the awakening process and yada yada. That, yeah, there's just so many artists that have, you know, touched upon these sacred hermetic principles, and it's just, it's really inspiring and just leaves me in awe sometimes. So, yeah, if anyone wants to check out my work, Awakening in Mind, you know, I've had the word a mind, because I was always concerned about my mind after having a quarter life crisis, you know. So, yeah, going back to the whole mentalism and, you know, what's wrong with today's mental health issues? It's worse than ever before. So people want proof of what exactly, you know? Take a look around. Like, seriously, take the fucking time. And if you want to actually take the time to consider learning about this stuff and take it fucking seriously, there's plenty of people, and we encourage you to check out the works that are, you know, within the One Great Work Network. Obviously, there's some of my mentors in there, Mark Passio, one of the founders, Seth Gisboza, Black Earth Productions. He has unparalleled work over there. Check out that Cosmic Law of Alchemy. He goes even into, you know, the 13 principles. Maria West, who's one of the top OGs talking about these things and calling out the fake-ass fucking teachers and posers of this shit, because we do need to hold ourselves accountable to a good degree. Because what the fuck are we doing? Are we really trying to get freedom? People still haven't, you know, found the freedom within themselves, and it's too bad, but, you know, hopefully you'll get there. But, are we not walking on sacred ground? Are we not walking the talk also, right? So, just, you know, taking a step back, really try to integrate these sacred principles and what it all encompasses. How do you value life and creation and everything around us? You know, the more appreciation for these things, I feel, the more the universe has our back. And that's just, you know, for me, I've lived that shit and it's a fucking fact. So more people learn from Lisa Renee at energeticsynthesis.com, I believe. Look into the, you know, just law of one stuff, but be very spiritually discerning, because there's a lot of, you know, spiritual, you know, new agey stuff. Max Egan talks a good amount of things. I love his ending of In Lakesh, you know. And yeah, there's plenty of websites that we will leave in the description. And I'm building a website with a friend, Theo Lukes, right now called nattylaw.com. He was really inspired by the works of, you know, people like us to actually make his own thing and try to have a learning center for people that, you know, people in, you know, growing up, they're not going to see this and be like, ah, they're used to seeing something more entertaining, eye popping and all this stuff. And then they see this as a bunch of people nerding out on philosophy or whatever the fuck, like whatever, you know, but what, do you not love knowledge? Do you not know what that word means? Philosophy. But anyways, we could go on and on, right? This subject is so vast because, as the great Manly P. Hall, which is someone y'all got to check out to learn more about natural law, because he speaks volumes on this, is that, you know, we're all a part of this eternal unfoldment of life, right? So try to be the cause point to the effects in a positive manner to have that proper rippling out effect for the collective and your immediate surroundings, you know? But, yeah, thank you all for listening. Chris, I'll let you finish it off, I suppose.
All right. Thanks, Derek. And thanks, folks, for checking out this show. I hope it gives you some things to think about. I just want to leave folks with four exercises, natural law exercises. As I said, I see this as a process. You know, the natural law, the universe is, put simply, the universal laws which govern consciousness. But how do we actually understand that and practice it in our life and talk about it with other people? There's a, like Derek just said, there's a lot to look into and study and think about and rethink about and go through this process. So I thought of these four basic exercises to share with you. The first one is unity versus separation. You know, it's something I like to think about. It's a philosophy kind of thing. Are you separate from everything else? Are you separate from nature? Or are you in unity with all of life and all of nature? Brandon talked a lot about the disconnected nature of our society. You can live in this world and be pretty disconnected. So think about the balance in your life of unity versus separation. In which ways are you united within yourself, and which ways are you separate within yourself? And then the same question with your relationships and such, and your passions and the things that you care about. The second one, spend some time meditating on objective reality. You know, this takes some work. It's a cognitive skill that we have to be able to look at things objectively. We don't practice this, and that's why people don't have the ability. Just like if you don't lift any weights, your arms don't get stronger, right? We got to stretch our brain a little bit. Consider what it means to be objective about things. Practice objectivity. Looking at things from the bigger point of view than just your own stake, your own personal cares. What about the cares of the great all? You know, what about the cares of the generational humanity, right? Okay, so that's two things, right? Unity and separation, objective reality practice, okay? Third, truth and corroboration. A lot of what we talked about, the trivium, is where that comes in. Use that trivium tool. Do I really know the truth on this? Am I following a belief system here of somebody? Am I appealing to an authority, or am I actually just talking about what's the actual truth, like Brandon said? What's the way things actually are? And this is where corroboration comes in. Find other people you can check in with. Find the inner self that you trust in your own patience and determination to know what's right, to get to that, which takes some patience and time and persistence, okay? So those three things so far, we got unity and separation, understanding those things, understanding, practicing being objective, practicing corroborating truth within yourself and with others, and then last and most important, rejection of religion. Any kind of dogmatic, authoritarian storylines that you've held in your head, they're hard to get rid of, but you got to reject them. You got to reject all those storylines and look at it just for what it is. And so I hope that you can take some of these exercises into your life and share them with your friends and family, and we can help keep this process moving of recognition of natural law being the reality that we're living in. Thanks, folks, for checking it out. I think we'll close up there unless anybody wanted to jump in and say anything last. Here's your chance.
One last question. You got that natural law? That's right. No, remember.
Much love. All right. Get that care, folks. And we'll see you next time around. Thanks for joining us, One Great Work Warriors.